Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm going to start with, here we go. Here we go. I'm starting. Bit of a different theme. This week on the Five Times podcast, we're actually in South Africa, which is really different because we're usually in England when we're doing it.
Okay? Hello, how are you?
Thanks.
Good.
Thanks for that.
What's your name?
Deshni.
Deshni?
Yeah. Am I supposed to say something?
You
say hello.
Live
to
radio.
How old are you, Deshni?
Sorry?
How old are you?
26.
26?
Yeah.
How long have you lived here for?
All my life.
There's a song in there somewhere.
All my life.
Fucking hell, he's on a roll there.
Three times.
Bit of a different theme this week on the Five Times podcast, but we're doing it live from South Africa in the beautiful Beverly Hills Resort in Durban. Obviously, we used to hear us do a podcast from England. A little bit of a different theme. Beautiful setting. The waves are crashing in over there. Bobby Fowler's drinking his latte. Stephen Hannon.
Over there.
How come he's just got a Stephen and I got a Fowler again?
Did you say Robbie Fowler?
Did you say Fowler? You never.
I said Robbie Fowler.
Play that back. All right.
He was doing so well for the first 5 seconds.
So just a quick recap why we're here. We're obviously trying to raise as much money for the charities as we can. The Liverpool Hillsborough Family Support Group is the main beneficiaries of our trip. Obviously, Clare House will benefit from this as well. So the trip contains two games of golf and gala dinner tonight, and we play the Kaiser Chiefs on Saturday. We're looking forward to it, although it'll be 2 o'clock in the afternoon kickoff, and it is roastio here. How did the golf go?
All right.
How did you play?
Brilliant.
No. Did you win?
No.
You couldn't have played that brilliant then, could you?
I did.
And Mr. McManaman, how did you play? You didn't play?
I didn't play golf, no. I'm not a huge golf fan, but I had a walk around, I had a drive around the lovely course of Outen first in Johannesburg, and secondly in Zimbali Resort, which were outstanding golf courses, really nice venues, lovely people, and I think everybody will say all the players have been very, very well looked after.
I know you play golf quite a bit. Which golf course did you particularly like? Zimbali.
To be honest, I thought you were both good actually. I disappointing the fact is that we only played 10-11 holes out because of the weather. I was playing well there, and obviously the storm come, the lightning forks.
But 2 under when you have to 11.
Yeah, 2 under
after 11. Were you?
Yeah, and the lightning forks and everything came, and they obviously ruined. So I'm probably going for my best ever round there.
Spoiled it, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've never hit a 59, but
you're well on your way, weren't you?
On my way. What did you think of a 64? We must make a confession.
I never ended up at ending because we're
finished. Wait there. Confessions.
Yeah.
You are married to my sister-in-law.
Rob Jones won the competition, but there was a steward's inquiry.
Hang on, well, why are you confessing? Shouldn't it be Rob Jones? Surely it should be Rob Jones confessing.
Well, I'm confessing on behalf of Rob Jones. He cheated.
Tales.
He cheated and won the competition.
Have you got proof of that?
Yeah, Rob Jones told me.
Okay, so actually, what you're confessing is sour grapes. You're confessing on you because.
Well, my team lost on a count back. We would have come fifth. I got done out of a white belt, which would have been quite nice. But
I mean, are you happy coming fifth?
Anyway.
Are you happy coming fifth?
I come sixth. The game.
You want to get into the top four and finish in those Champions League places?
Yeah, onto Champions League. Anyway, the main reason we're here is obviously the game against the Kaiser Chiefs. There's been a lot of publicity around the game for the Kaiser Chiefs, saying they must win the game, save face. We believe they brought in a few players who are under the age of 40. I think our average age is 39, 40, is it?
Our average age, no chance.
Is it way higher? 46.
It must be 40, 48, 49, easy.
I know there's a lot of young players, but if you throw...
Considering there's two people... One people under the age of 40, I think our average age is going to be...
a lot higher, isn't it?
All right. Well, our average age is 39.
Our average age is 37, and our youngest is 39.
Our team consists of our team consists of obviously Rob Jones, yourself, Robbie, Didier Mann, Mark Wright, Mickey Thomas. I mean, all quite young lads. But I suppose the average age would be around the middle 40s. But then if you throw Dave Fairclough in, he'll obviously go up to about 72, won't it?
Yeah.
So, and Dave's here as ambassador with Cali. It's great to see them. John Barnes here, and obviously Jan Mobley. But the game, let's get back to the game. Are you looking forward to it?
I am, actually. I know what you're just saying, and I probably don't think it was going to be as serious as what it is. When we come over here, expecting a little bit of a tough match, but you know, to the extent where you're saying, you know, these are bringing ringers in because they want to save face, and there seems to be a lot more pressure on them than what there is us. You know, we've come over here, obviously we do want to win the game, but you know, we want to enjoy ourselves over here, and I think it's probably going to be maybe a little too serious. And
no, I think it'd be all right. You know,
John Barnes spoke to the Kaiser Chiefs players yesterday who were on our bus, and also who were at the golf course, and they said that they haven't brought any ringers in, and they're not going to take it as serious as people have actually said they're going to take it. And there's only one person really, the young lad. No, he said that was just one that happened. He said they're not going to take it serious at all.
But they have been having practice matches, haven't they?
Yeah, they've had one. They won 3-2.
3-2.
Yeah.
But he said they haven't brought ringers in, and a lot of them are very unfit, a bit like us.
They're selling.
Could be a 0-0 this one, then.
It's not as serious as we think it's going to be.
They're selling 1,000 tickets a day. I think they're expecting over 25,000 people at the stadium. It's live on South African TV.
How many days have the tickets been on sale?
A month.
It's a 30,000 seater stadium, isn't it? Yeah.
So we're going to fill it. Three quarters, fill it.
No,
two thirds we're going to fill.
It's 20,000. You start doing your maths. If there's 25,000 in a 30,000 seater stadium, what fraction is that?
And the bus driver.
Five,
like
six.
16 people on the bus before get off.
It should be 5, 6, 4.
The point I'm trying to make is we haven't played in front of a crowd like that for a long while. Obviously, it's on the TV as well.
Yourself, son, I was pre-season Olympiacos, mate.
No, you were there.
Played?
Yeah, I was there.
Played up front with Suarez, didn't he, in the end?
Couldn't breathe because the kit was that tight.
Doesn't matter, I'm still playing.
All right. Would you get nervous more knowing that there's 25,000 people there and it's live on the telly? Would you just treat it as like something?
No, you're not getting nervous, are you? I mean, you come over here, and I mean, it's good that the fact is that there is going to be so many people there, and well, I don't think any of us will ever get nervous. We've all played, and we've all played in front of big crowds, and you know, in bigger stadiums, and. There's not as much pressure on this game as you know, there would be a cup final or a league match, is it? So
I think half the battle is fear in not wanting to make a fool of yourself in front of your teammates. I think that's half the thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Because if you do, you make a mistake.
Gives everyone a little bit of ammo for the rest of the stick
you'll get off the rest of the players all night and
all journey home. You'll never live it down, will you?
Just while we're on the subject of the lads, I'm just going to go across to Pete McDowell, who's recently just come back from a press conference about the game on Saturday against the Kaiser Chiefs. He's down by the poolside. Doesn't look like he's got any cream on because he's bright red, looks like a lobster. But he's down there with the IPP group who have funded this trip. Jared Ayres is with them. Not to be confused with Ian Ayres, because they look nothing like each other. And Phil Thompson and John Barnes. Pete?
Yes, thank you, Jason. Jared Ayres is with me, who's funded this trip for the Liverpool players. First, before we... Aldo's here as well, by the way. It's all right, Aldo?
Well, go on.
Jared, first of all, before we talk about how the trip was made happen, it's been good fun, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, actually. It's been very good. The lads have enjoyed themselves. They've seen some beautiful parts of the country, played at some fantastic golf courses, and now sitting here looking at the Indian Ocean. The weather's gorgeous. We're just a little bit worried about the temperature for the match, really, on Saturday.
2 o'clock kickoff, which won't aid some of the pale-looking Liverpool former players that are sat around this pool at the moment.
Yeah, and you have to consider as well that the humidity in Durban's always around 80%, so they're going to have to take on lots of water. So I think a few of us will be praying for rain tomorrow.
How difficult was it to get together, trip?
There were problems at times in getting everything organised, but these former players really wanted to go out and represent Liverpool. It's the biggest game that they've played overseas as a Legends crowd, and they've cooperated really well. A few hiccups with airlines and flights, but looking back now in the last 4 days, everything's gone really smoothly.
The game, it's eagerly anticipated. I've got to speak to Roy in a second about the game and about the press conference. They want to win, don't they, the Kaiser Chiefs?
Oh, absolutely. Some of their players have been in training for weeks, and we hear there may be one or two ringers in there that are under the ages of 36, but our boys with the camaraderie and the understanding of how to pass the ball, I'm sure will help us on the day.
Fluid replenishment has been fairly keenly stuck to as well this week. Fluids of quite a different kind to probably the Kaiser Chiefs, though.
Yeah, I think getting some of the former players, Liverpool players, back together, and they've really enjoyed their time together. And nobody's been silly, but everybody's is had a good time, really. And as usual, McAtee has been the whipping boy.
Just finally, Jared, the game itself, are you expecting 30,000, would you say, for a game like this?
Yeah, absolutely. We thought at the time we'd be happy with 10,000 people. You know, we know the following that the Liverpool fans, the following that Liverpool have in South Africa. But just a minute ago, we're up to 25,000. Kaiser Chiefs are supporting the game very, very well. And it's going to be an absolutely great day. And we want to come out on top and come home victorious with yet another trophy.
From Jared to the joint managers, Phil Thompson and Roy Evans, who are here with me at the moment. They were down at this press conference this morning. What was it like, Tomo?
It was nice. It was nice, and there's probably about 40, 50 in there, yeah. Was the Roy. And it was lovely. We were with a couple of their players, and there was John Barnes, Roy and myself. But it's just lovely to be in there, because like it's such a fantastic aura around John Barnes. Wherever he goes, whatever he does, everybody hangs on every word. So it was, once again, I think the big thing with this trip is humbling. It has to be said.
You were here in 1994, Roy, as Liverpool manager. Lots has changed since then, but it's fantastic to be back here, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, and just the reaction of the people there. Again, we talked about actually the tour in '94, or it was, and Nelson Mandela came and you know came into the dressing room and put the shirt on. And John, of course, ended up going back to his house to interview him for a programme, and John was saying how humbling the man was, or how humble the man was himself. And we sent him our best regards. Obviously, you can't, unfortunately, come to the game, but there's a real buzz about the place. I mean, I think we paid great respects to the Kaiser Chiefs. You know, they're a massive club in this country, and probably the whole of Africa. Chatting to them, I mean, there's been a bit of hype about it being a really physical game. I mean, everyone wants to win, but I'm sure it'll be played in the best of spirits, and that's what we hope anyway.
But even on their team selection, their team selection has been an issue with these guys over here. Everybody wants to seem to play, and they have such an amount of it being in their country makes it quite easy for them to get hold of them. Everybody wants to be involved, so they've only picked X amount of players, and some of them are moaning, some of the legends, that they haven't been picked, and they think there's some skullduggery gone on. But that's how much everybody is looking forward to this game. Hopefully about 25,000 are going to be here, and I think that's another issue why everybody wants to be involved.
Your lads are exactly the same. They all want to play despite all the banter that's gone on. Heat's going to be an issue though, Roy, isn't it? I mean, 2 o'clock kickoff, it's searing heat now as we sit here talking, so running around's quite a different thing.
Yeah, it is, of course, and obviously the levels of fitness are not what they used to be, but you know, you're going to be playing in temperatures above the 90s, and so it's going to be a really tough afternoon start. Like it is, the lads will adapt. In the end of the day, it's about a bit of fun. Yes, we want to play well, we'd like to win, but in the end of the day, it's for the charities that we run, obviously Hillsborough, some charities over here which we're trying to you know, give to as well, so we're trying to leave a legacy that we've enjoyed coming to South Africa, because the people of South Africa have been, to be fair, very, very welcoming. They've been brilliant to us in the golf we've played, and as I say, it's been quite a humbling experience really in many ways.
Just finally, Tomo, and I think Jason's probably going to talk to him on the podcast later on in the week. Paddy Berger and Vladimir Smajta are here as well, so some young legs. Fantastic to see them, though, isn't it? And they're really part of this group now.
Do you know what? Two guys from the Czech Republic, and they're so happy to be here. They love it, being with the lads and having a crack. When you're players and you're together, it's pressure to get results, to make sure that it's right. And people will be wondering, should they be in the side? Shouldn't they be in the side? But here it's completely different. It's so relaxed. And to see Paddy and Vladdy being here because they're two great mates and they live just around the corner from each other now, just outside of Prague. It is brilliant. And we'll be, I tell you what, be nice lads, but we'll be looking for their legs on Saturday afternoon because we're going to be needing them. They say we've got a vastly different age groups here, and with the heat, with the weather, it'll be the younger ones of the group who are going to have to sort of carry the burden of responsibility of playing time.
OK, thank you both of you, Roy Evans and Phil Thompson, both gentlemen. Back to you upstairs, Jason.
Has there been any funny stories that you can tell about the trip? I know, I mean, I got beaten a race by our chairman, Jarrett beat me in a race over 70 yards. He did pull his hamstring, though, so technically I did take the gold.
To be honest, that's even worse, the fact is that he still beat you and he pulled his hamstring.
So we had two races. He beat me in the first one, and then I took him on again. And to be fair, I dropped it a gear, and he pulled his hamstring trying to keep up with me. So technically, I won that one.
Yes, I definitely think you won. Did you see him? I missed this. What time was this? What time did this happen?
It was about 2:45 this morning.
And how many drinks did you consume all day? Alcoholic drinks.
Quite a lot.
What was your favourite?
Do you know what I did notice, though? The first race of running me trainers.
Do you think that's clever?
You're over here preparing.
2:45 over here preparing for a big game against the Kaiser Chiefs. You're slightly inebriated at 2:45 in the morning, having racing competitions.
Why, me and the Steve McMahoonahan fella were all tucked up in bed.
We'd had our massages, had a stretch off, and we're tucked up in bed.
Get our pasta, read the papers.
Do you know what I did notice? The first race, I ran in these trainers because I had them on.
It would have helped, wouldn't it? Yeah.
No. The second race, the one I won, I actually took them off and ran barefooted like Zola Budd. And I won it.
Have a guess where she's from?
Zimbabwe. There you go. Anyway. John Barnes, Jan Mowlby, Mark Wright went out to Soweto on Monday to the Zola School to see some inspiring young people under pretty tough circumstances.
Not the Jan Frankel School. Who's that named after?
Jan Frankel.
No, Calvin.
Who is it? Who is it named after? The Zola School, who's it named after?
Is it Jan Frankel?
Oh. Who do you think?
Zola Bud. There you go.
So is she from Zimbabwe then?
No, she must be from South Africa.
Welcome.
Pete McDowell has got a report. We're going to throw to Pete and then tell you all about it.
The game the Liverpool legends go into this weekend was only part of their journey in South Africa this week. A special welcome wherever they ventured was also the case in Soweto, when John Barnes, Jan Mowlby and Mark Wright arrived to coach some young people that were hoping to follow in their footsteps in years to come.
Never been into such an occasion whereby I'll meet the greatest of them all. So that's the reason why I'm saying today I'm not myself. I'm really not myself. I can't believe it. It's unbelievable that I will be standing here in front of such great, great, great people.
Hello. My name is Lamumulom, the principal of Zola Senior Primary School. I don't know what to say, really. I'm over excited that legends from England are here at this school, Zola Primary School. But now it's proving to those who are doubting that this school is working hard in all departments, in classes, in extramural activities. Our achievement is the one that has drawn the Department of Education, our district, to say, let these people come to this school. It's a special school.
John Barnes led the coaching, ably assisted by his overwhelmed former teammates.
Oh, do you know what? Absolutely unbelievable. I was so impressed. Not only with the entrance as we walked in with all the girls dancing, but it was the singing. I mean, for everyone back home, I don't think they'll get a real flavour of what that was about and how good they actually were. I think it was first class, you know. And you have to see out here now as well the conditions of the pitch. It's everywhere. That's all I can describe with it. It goes up and down. There's holes. There's divots. It's just uneven. But you know, well played to them, because what I've been majorly impressed with is the enthusiasm from these, from the kids and from the principal. Everyone about since we've come into this school, it's been nothing but a pleasure to be here. And hopefully, hopefully we can teach them something.
Yeah, and we didn't really know what kind of welcome to expect, but I think all of us have been overwhelmed by that.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, the effort they've gone through. You know, we could have just arrived on a minibus and been dropped off on the field and whatever, but the enthusiasm is just beyond belief, isn't it? But it was from the word go, and the singing and the entertainment, the enthusiasm just shines through, doesn't it? You know, it's fantastic. And you know, we've got them here now just playing little games and have a bit of fun, but they're just so desperate to do well and please everybody and win, you know.
It was a chance for Zola Primary School to show how they'd moved on. Soweto, a tough and quite brutal life for some of these young people, in kits falling to pieces and shoes that have been passed down from brothers and sisters. So underprivileged, teachers told us quite a few would not be able to afford to eat from their last meal in school on a Friday until they returned on the Monday. This trip made a big difference.
I love Liverpool. I used to follow sports in a way, like, but not that much. But today I'm inspired now that the Liverpool has come to our school as a school governing body member. I'm so proud of this school and the Liverpool as well with Kaizer Chiefs. It's like they are going to inspire our kids to take their sports level and then like excel in what they do, because they see that here are legends. They came to us, so they will want to be like the legends as well.
People from England and Dr. Kumalo, so we are so happy.
It was fantastic. Learn so many styles.
Learn so many styles. So
learn so many techniques.
And what about Liverpool Football Club? Do you think you might support Liverpool now?
Yes.
As you heard there, lads, it's obviously pretty hard stuff what the lads seen there. It's we're obviously going to try and do something about it, and maybe we can, you know, some of the money we raise, we might look into putting it into the Zola school, because the lads said it was a, you know, it'd be such a good thing to do for us. So that'll be great. I can't have you here without speaking about Liverpool this season. Going along nicely?
Yeah, I think
games in.
Yeah, no, so far so good. I think if you'd have said at the start of the season, you know, you'd come, you know, early November, mid-November, you were going to be second in the league, 2 points behind the leaders, I think everyone would have snapped your hands off. So I know, you know, there may be a few supporters getting a little bit carried away because, oh, you know, we're going to win the league. But I think Liverpool's priority should be, you know, let's not worry about the league and, you know,
admittedly, don't jump ahead.
Yeah, you know, admittedly they do want to win it, but first and foremost, they've just got to keep this run going. The run going that they've got, and try and win as many games and try and get as many points on the board as possible. And who knows, going to come January, if they're there or thereabouts, you know the owners and Brendan will, I think, will probably strengthen the team and push certainly for that Champions League place. And once you're in there, you know, you're getting the wins and the confidence and the momentum.
Cliche central there.
No, but then you can't you? So it's. I think it's interesting times, I think, for Liverpool.
I think it's been really good, hasn't it? Yeah. I actually think Liverpool fans are not getting carried away. I think that's one of the really good things about it. Because Liverpool finished seventh last year, I know what you mean, as in the fit that in second place. But I think everybody's expecting, or half expecting, them to struggle at a stage. And nobody's expecting them to win the league this year. They're all just really pleasantly surprised how everything's coming along and everything's turning out.
I think there's been an element of, you look at the beginning of the season last year, I think it was Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea was thrown in there in the first six or seven games, wasn't it? It was a really tough start for Liverpool, and Brendan, yeah, doing all playing catch up. Do you think the fixtures have been kind to Liverpool this year?
Very kind. You think with,
to a certain extent, yeah.
You think of Man United's start this year, and Man United had a real tough start with all the games they played, didn't he? And they struggled. You know, to a certain extent, it's what Liverpool had last year. You know, Liverpool were always playing catch up, and they always found it difficult to get into those places which we want them to. This year, the fixtures, as you said, have been incredibly kind. There's not until probably December where they play two consecutive hard games, and certainly that's no disrespect to, you know, to the other teams in the Premier League, but
they played Man United at the right time, didn't they?
Yeah. The only thing I would say is that the fixtures are the fixtures, aren't they? You know, we can talk about how hard fixtures are, but you can't legislate for West Bromwich Albion beating Manchester United at Old Trafford, or Southampton drawing with Manchester United at Old Trafford.
Southampton beat Liverpool.
No, exactly. So you can talk about, oh, they don't play
Man United and Arsenal, or they don't play two hard fixtures in a week. But you can't legislate for any results nowadays, can you? Look at last week before we came. Sunderland beat Manchester City again up at the Stadium of Light. Newcastle went down to Tottenham and won. You know, in reality, that's an easy 3 points for these teams.
Well, but this year, it's not. Inconsistency of the league, then there's a real opportunity for Liverpool to win it this year. Is it probably the best opportunity Liverpool have, or any team's had in the last?
Of course, this year. Of course, this year, isn't it? Yeah, definitely. The second in the league. They're playing really well. We're quarter of the way through. This is the best chance they've had in a long time. Of course, that's easy to say.
What you said there, Mac, in terms of Liverpool and where they are. I mean, we've been saying this at the start of the season, or all season, haven't we? In terms of Liverpool, potentially, you know, they can go on a run and create goals and score goals and win games. But we've been waiting for years for this to happen. And
this Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And now they're there. I know what you said before, I don't think people expect, but once you're there, I think there is a certain amount of expectancy from people who think, oh, well, they're there now. They should go on and win it.
Do you think?
Yeah, I really do. But, I mean, teams are always taking points off each other this season. And we said this at the start of the season, and teams will beat other teams.
If you look now at the bookmakers, for instance, they're the fonts of all knowledge, of course. Liverpool are not even in the first four teams to win the league. Not even in the first four. There's four teams still better placed than them to win the league.
Why would that be?
Well, it's because they don't fancy them. They think somewhere down the line they'll start to lose points. And Manchester City, Chelsea will come stronger. That's what they think. I mean, whether they're going to be right or wrong is another thing, of course. But I think the expectation is still off Liverpool.
But the fixtures now, the next 6 weeks, look at the fixtures, some very, very winnable games. I think there's only obviously Everton and the Derby next. Spurs as well are in December at some point, aren't they? Now, Liverpool have got a lot of games you'd look at there and say were very, very winnable. They're going to be in a very, very strong position come Christmas if it goes to plan, isn't it?
I think that's what we all hope Liverpool have got.
Have they got the squad?
They've got league games, that's all Liverpool have. They don't have any Carling Cup, whatever it's called nowadays. There's no Europa League. There's no FA Cup. They have got Premier League games until the first week in January. All their rivals have got Champions League games and other games. So in that respect, it's kind.
We've talked about this before. I mean, obviously not with Jews, but myself and Mac have obviously mentioned Liverpool in terms of everyone keeps saying, the squad's not strong enough, or the depth is not there. But at the minute, they don't need to, because as Mac has just said, they're not playing all these games.
They've got one game a week.
Well, one game a week.
So as long as they, I know injuries can happen. They can have 10 injuries next week.
Well, you say that. When you look at the Arsenal game, and Glenn Johnson pulls out just before the game with illness. Enrique was injured. Obviously, young Flanagan come in, and I believe he'd only play 13 minutes that calendar year, which was always going to be a big ask for him, wasn't it? The Emirates away. And
but
obviously, Sissoko played wing-back. They were two big positions, weren't they? Now, I think that's where Liverpool corner stuck against Arsenal. In them two positions.
Yeah, but that's just life, isn't it?
What I'm trying to say is the squad strong enough?
Yeah.
Because they've lost two players there.
If Arsenal get injured right back and left back and have to play Jenkinson and left, I don't even know who they bring in as left back, somebody else. That's just part and parcel of football. Yeah, it's just, Liverpool should be able to bring in John Flanagan and Sissoko or Martin Kelly or somebody else and be able to.
Are they at that stage though where they can do that and maybe comfortable? Because against Arsenal, I think they didn't.
I've read obviously various reports about John. He came in at Arsenal, John Flanagan. With all due respect, I didn't think he'd done too bad.
But he doesn't give you what Glenn Johnson's going to give you in a game like that.
Not many players in the Premier League will give you the same options as Glenn does.
I agree. You're always going to miss your star men. If Luis Suarez gets injured, you're going to miss him like crazy. If Steven Gerrard gets injured, you're going to miss him like crazy. Glenn Johnson, Enrique, whoever gets dropped out, and if they're in the first team,
You're going to miss them, aren't you? But that's just part and parcel of it all. No problem with that. If Arsenal lose Giroud, if Arsenal lose Ozil, they're going to really, really miss them.
I think one thing I noticed when Brendan Rodgers came into the club was he was very rigid with his formation, wasn't he? He played 4-3-3 for quite a lot of the time. I think we played Manchester United away and he changed the formation in the second half and we nearly got something out of the game, didn't we? And I think he opened his eyes up to the fact that he's got players that can play in various positions, and he then decided to mix it up quite a few times. I think more so this season we've seen Liverpool's formation change. You've seen him in any one game where you thought they really look good, they're really comfortable. The wing back, do you think that suits the wing backs because Coutinho gets to play central and Johnson and Enrique are very good wing backs, aren't they? And the three at the back, I guess.
I think Liverpool's players are, if I'm being told, I think they're probably suited better for the 3-5-2, if you like, or the, whatever you want to call it. But when obviously Coutinho was injured, that's really, you know, when he comes back into the side, then you go straight away, you go play a 4-3-3. And to be fair, you know, against, admittedly, it was only Fulham, but he looked better than what they have done in the previous few weeks.
In the 4-3-3.
Yeah, but look, I think we played Arsenal and, you know, it wasn't one of our better games, and I think we just gauge that formation off that result.
Yeah,
on paper, you know, I
think the main thing I think is that they can change formations around. So if you go 3-5-2, whatever, with these wing backs that you've just been saying about, if you're up against an Arsenal who've only got one centre forward and you've got three centre halves, well, then it's pointless, correct? So if you can go, right, we'll play like this today, it's not working, let's go 4-4-2. Well, because they were in form and they thought they might be able to overrun them doing that, but in reality they were overrunning midfield because of the numbers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But as long as they can change it round, say it's not working now, forget 3-5-2, let's go 4-4-3 or 4-4-7 or 4-4, you know, let's change it round. And you can do that mid-game. I think that really helps them, and Liverpool can do that.
First question, right? Liverpool, obviously in form, Arsenal in form, he's felt very confident, Brendan Rodgers, to go down there. And what I liked was the fact he went down and he went to try and win the game, didn't he? He didn't try and not lose the game. He went to win it. Do you think there's got to be an element sometimes where he just takes a back seat and thinks,
no,
we'll go and take the point here rather than, yeah, no, we won't lose this game? But no, do you think he goes with the right attitude? Let's go and win the game.
Let's go and win the game.
You'd like to see that.
We're Liverpool. No, we're Liverpool FC. They go to win the game.
But do you not think there's certain games where you might have to, maybe Chelsea away or Man United away, we'll take a point
here. Game, but you have to go and win the game.
Certain games,
right?
Games and the way the games are panning out, yeah, if we get them beaten, we'll try and get this goal and get the result and we'll be happy with 1 point. But you'll never go into a game just thinking, oh, we'll be happy with a point.
You can't go into a game with Suarez, Sturridge, Coutinho, Glenn Johnson, Steven Gerrard, you know, Jose Enrique, and think, let's go for the points. No, it's impossible. Otherwise, you'd only play with one forward and six in midfield.
Has anyone stood out? Probably this season really stood out. Jordan Henderson.
He's worked hard, hasn't he? I know there's a lot of talk about him. You know, he's improved massively from last year. And he has, but with all due respect, he didn't have a great season last year, so, you know, anything he does is going to be really better. And that's obviously not being disrespectful to the lad. I think he's one of them players in the side. I think, you know, because he is a bit of a worker, you know, I think all the players are happy with him being in the side because he does put a shift in. You have to look at Luis Suarez's form. I know we missed the first six games, but since he's come back,
he's dangerous for Liverpool in the sense of January Real Madrid come back because he's having such a good season.
I wouldn't think in January I think it's a waste of time in January, isn't it?
Well, the fact is that Liverpool, what he said, what they did at the start of the season when clubs were coming in, and it'll be absolutely pointless and even ludicrous to even consider anything in January.
January is inflated prices, isn't it? If they come back with a ridiculous figure, do Liverpool have to sell?
No, it doesn't make any sense, does it?
I
think in January it wouldn't make any sense. If even in January, if Real Madrid said, we'll give you 100 million for them, all you'd say is, give us 100 million for them in 3 months' time. That's all you'd say, wouldn't you? Because Liverpool want to get into the Champions League. You need them to get into the Champions League. So the 100 million you'd take there, you'd lose elsewhere, so no. I think January is just bananas.
You're not a fan of January window?
You're fine if the team's not very good and someone's coming in to get your best players. That's fine if you're 15th in the league. But if you're second and you're desperate to get into the Champions League spot, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Just back to what you were saying, Dave, before about players who've stood out. And I know the other player probably on everyone's lips is Sturridge. You know, he's had a, an unbelievable start to his Liverpool career, you know, ever since, not just this season, but since he came in January. Now, you know, he's talking about advocates for the January transfer windows, and he's a player that, you know, has been a massive success. This year he scored a few goals, and you know what? What's a little bit more special about it, the fact is that he missed all the pre-season as well, and I do expect him to have a little bit of a lull soon, to be honest, you know, because he has missed a lot. Well, in fact, he missed all of pre-season, and I think he's been brilliant as well this year, and I think that them two, you know, Suarez and Sturridge, as a partnership, I mean, they can cause defences all kinds of problems, and you know, so far so good with
them. Is the Anfield becoming a fortress? Is that slowly coming back? The team's coming now to Anfield.
I think it's going to be really difficult to get a result. I think so, yeah. I think it's always been like that.
Yeah. I think there was a time a couple of seasons ago where...
I just think the team have struggled at times, but I always think it's a really difficult place to come and get a result. But the team just haven't been as good as they once were, which is not natural. The team are really playing well this year, so it's hard to come and get a result.
I so disagree with you there, Mark. The fact is, I went Liverpool's former home the other year.
How dare you disagree with me?
I know, I do apologise. I do really apologise, but you look
the
at
the godfather of your boy.
I know. Sorry, mate, but, but look, I think you look at the form of, I think it was the Kenny's last year in charge, where I think they won four home games or something. And yeah, I mean, for the Liverpool side to actually win four home games is just absurd.
Don't you think that's just a reflection on the team? We're not very good.
Might as well be actually all right, actually. In the half, I do have to two cup finals.
You finished eighth, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, but now you're talking about the beer factor. And, you know, I think teams were coming to Anfield and not expecting a win, but expecting to get something out. And I think that shows in the form. I think this year, the form at home has been impressive. Obviously, by the Southampton game. But as Mackie said before, you know, you do get fluke results throughout the season, and you know, Man United have been on the back end of some terrible home results this year as well. So,
do you think Old Trafford's a fortress then?
Not now. I think Man United have a fear factor.
I think the fear factor's gone with Man United.
I think with Man United, and this is probably relates to Liverpool a few years ago. You know, when Liverpool were, you know, playing Southampton, for example, and they were drawing 0-0 with 70 minutes. I think, you know, the other players from the other team would go, well, we've got a chance, you know, we can win this game. And then the last 20 minutes, they'll go out and try and get that win. Whereas you go to Old Trafford a week later, they'll be drawing 0-0 after 70 minutes. And because it's Man United and the fear factor at Old Trafford, they'll start sitting back and expect Man United to have a little bit of an onslaught for the last 20.
But don't you just think the better the team, the more difficult it is to get a result there?
Well, you know.
You know what I mean?
Excuse me, I mean,
in reality, Newcastle should be a fortress. There's 55,000 mad screaming Geordies who support the team. But the fact that the team are not very good,
yeah,
it's less of a fortress, yeah, no, isn't it?
It does make sense.
Well, Liverpool are second in the league. They're playing with a huge amount of confidence. It's difficult to go and win now.
Yeah, but it's gone through an inconsistent time at the minute.
Exactly. So when they're finishing eighth, when they're finishing eighth in the league, it's not a fortress, because they're finishing eighth in the league for a reason.
Well, that's what you said.
But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're digressing.
Yeah.
Just to quickly skip
over. What do you think anyway, Jason? If you haven't really given us your opinion, what do you think?
Well, I don't have to ask the questions, don't I?
Well, you can still have an opinion.
You can still have an opinion on what you think Liverpool are like this year. Do you think they're going to win the league and stuff?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You think they're going to win the league?
And no, I don't know if they're going to win the league. I think they've got a real opportunity to win it.
Well, that's what we've said.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Is this your taxi?
What was that, your contribution?
I do. I just think with all the new managers, I think Liverpool, Brendan's been there now for a couple of seasons. The squad's settled. It's his team. They all know the jobs. They know what they're doing. I think they've got experience and youth, which is doing really well. I think Anfield now has become a really difficult place to go to. I think there's a real belief amongst the players. They're being able to bounce back from defeats, and I put that down to the fixtures being kind. Some likes of Fulham coming to Anfield after the defeat against Arsenal was the perfect game for them. I think they've got Sturridge is being inspired, I think, by Luis Suarez. I think pulling the best of best of visibility is coming out because of that. The competition for places is doing really, really well. And I think as well with the manager, I've always been a believer. You look at Manchester United, I think the secret for him, I mean, read three quarters of Sir Alex Ferguson's book, is his ability to keep the players out the team happy. You know, they all wanted to be there. You know, Solskjaer, Neville, you know, they didn't play every week, but they were there and they were, you know, good players. And when they needed to come into action, they performed. And I think that's a scene. I think Brendan's got a bit of that about him. I think he's able to keep the squad really, really happy. I just think this year the fixtures are kind to them.
Is that not a question? And you know, obviously the foreign influence in the English game now or in the Premier League,
they don't get it.
No, look, I know when we were younger and we wanted to play every week. Does the foreign influence, do they want to play every week? Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, I think they do actually, don't they?
Yeah, I'd like to think they do.
Luis Suarez wants to play every week, doesn't he? He played yesterday against them.
I don't think they take it personally.
He played yesterday against Jordan, didn't he? And he's off to Uruguay next week to play the second leg. And then he'd come back. I tell you what, Liverpool have been unlucky. I know you said the fixtures have been kind, but they've also been unlucky that they've come back from huge international breaks. And they have away games, which are notoriously hard. They went to Newcastle after the international break, and it was really difficult for them. They didn't. They looked a yard slower than they looked as if a lot of them had just got off a plane from Japan like Luis Suarez did, and Stephen and Daniel Sturridge had that pressure of England qualifying for the World Cup. I know they were at home, they were home games, but they were really hard games for them. And next week everybody's on international duty again, and they've got a really tough game against Everton when they come back. I mean, I know they're not travelling, but it's still away from home, so that's hard. So, you know, where you say the fixtures are being kind, They haven't, you know what I mean? That's what I say about fixtures. They're just there, aren't they? You just play everybody twice, and that's the end of it. It's not rocket science.
Just to skip over the league then, looking at the other end of the tables, do you think the table's taking shape now?
Yeah.
A few managers now at this time of the season, they're looking over the shoulder, Martin Yol. Great win for Chris Alton, wasn't it?
They brought in Rennie Mullins.
Yeah, they did yesterday.
Is that just
a smokescreen? Well, do you think he's going to lose his job in the next couple of weeks? Do you think that's going to save him for the next month?
Unfortunately, I don't like to say that because I like Martin Yol. But I do. Because why have they brought Rennie Mullinstein in? Because they've got Ray Lewington as his number two, haven't they? Is Ray Lewington Martin Yol's number two? No, he's not. He's Roy Hodgson's number two, isn't he?
Well, you know, he's come in. But has Martin Yol not brought him in? Do we know that? I just think it's strange
the fact that they brought him in November.
What's the point behind it? What's that point? What are they trying to do there? Freshen it up?
Freshen it up. Freshen it up. Different training regimes, different faces.
Well, he's supposedly got one of the best reputations around at the minute. It's a good move by Fulham. It's a good move
if they win next week.
I'll tell you what, he's been brought in. We all seen the game Saturday. And I'd have to say, I mean, I know when your backs are against the wall and you've got, I mean, Ruiz, come on, but Berbatov, who is like a maverick, he's a fantastic player, don't get me wrong, but these aren't the kind of players who are going to roll the sleeves up.
It wasn't that, Jason. It was on the back of the Man United thrashing the week before at home. To follow it up with that type of performance, as you said, I think that's the really worrying part, isn't it? Instead of going out and saying, we've just been hammered at home by Man United, it was a terrible first half performance. Let's be strong, let's be organised, let's not concede a goal. And the first 45 minutes against Liverpool, they were just appalling, weren't they? Absolutely appalling. It looked as if they didn't have any plan whatsoever. And to lose a game in 20 minutes like they did at Liverpool and like they did the week before, you've got real big problems. That was my only concern with Fulham. And they've got a new owner from who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I don't know him. But you would think
an incredibly job in this November, isn't
he? Shahid Khan. But you would presume that as a very successful American owner, they don't suffer fools gladly, and if things start to go wrong, they just change it, don't they?
Well, talking about American owners,
he doesn't suffer fools easy. Who's he got? The Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, they've lost 8 out of 8 this year.
Yeah, I know, but
the Jacksonville Jaguars.
In America there's no relegation and things like that. The money, they just still get the money, so they're not actually, to a certain extent, they're not losing anything by finishing bottom.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, take that, but yeah, I know what you're
Whereas
saying.
Whereas in England, if you buy a football team for X amount of money and you get relegated, your income drops by three quarters. And he isn't in this country to buy a football club to lose all kinds of money, is he? So I will presume that when things start to go wrong and they start slipping down the table, he will start making decisions.
What one of them had an owners? Liverpool's. Boston Red Sox. Won the World Series.
Won the World Series. Mm-hmm. Who did they beat in the final?
Tampa Bay Panthers, I don't know.
You just mix
Jackson
six
Jaguars.
You just mix six teams up together.
The Jackson Jaguars.
The Jackson Jaguars.
LaToya.
St. Louis.
Cardinals. Bang.
There you go.
Anyway.
I'll set them up.
I'll hit them. It's worth $100 million winning that World Series.
Yes.
Liverpool get a kickback from that? Would you like to
I wouldn't have thought so, because the wage bill for the Boston Red Sox is far more than that. The Yankees wage bill is $1 billion business, isn't it? And the Red Sox are really good payers as well.
They're going to pay the kicker, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. The kicker. The baseball team, the thrower, the pitcher.
Football team.
That's it, you see. Comedy gold you've got there.
The kicker. I'll set them up. Bang.
So I presume they run their two businesses completely separate, but £100 million windfall, is fantastic for the owners, isn't it? So,
okay, just
but I hope I think we all think and hope that they will invest in January as well if Liverpool are doing well.
I mean, potentially getting back to them owners, I mean, it could be an unbelievable year for them, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously them on the back of the World Series and Liverpool's form so far,
Liverpool have always been linked with the right people. Mkhitaryan, who went to Dortmund, Diego Costa, who's still at Atletico Madrid. By all accounts, they paid his release, his release clause, and he stayed. But he's having a fantastic season, so they're going for the right people.
January then, and Liverpool in the strongest position they've ever, or they've been for five or 6 years in buying players.
So if they still in second place, people will look at them in the summer and say they're not in the Champions League. They're not in the Champions League, so they'll always opt for somebody else. But if you're in the Champions League, people will come. More people will come.
Can't leave without asking you, and you touched on it before, difficult games to come. Everton, both Everton fans, aren't you?
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you?
How very dare you? I don't know. I don't. Why?
Was?
Why?
Well, obviously we're not, are we?
Why not? Well, not now, but you grew up Everton.
Yeah.
Anyway, who was your favourite Everton player all time?
I had two. I had James Sharp and Trevor Stephen, both brilliant.
I was with him the other week, Cheeky Trev.
Cheeky Trev?
Cheeky Trev.
Duncan McKenzie, because I was a bit older than Mr. Robert Bernard Fowler, and Sir Bob Latchford.
Did you go to that?
Yeah, I was a mad Evertonian. Went to Gladys Street, I was a junior Evertonian. I was lucky enough to be 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years of age when Everton were very successful in the early 80s and mid 80s, and I was a regular goer.
I mean, I bump into Andy Gray all the time. How good was he?
Clang.
I know, yeah. Well, sadly, I'm dropping a name there, is he? Was he?
Well, Andy wasn't there long, but when he was there, he was excellent.
Yeah, it's funny that he wasn't there.
He wasn't there long at all. But he was like Lineker. He had a year at Everton, was outstanding.
Who's your favourite Everton partnership then?
You know what? Who's bothered? You're talking about Liverpool, and it's a Liverpool podcast.
Yeah, but just it's Everton Cup, wasn't it?
Bob Latchford and Duncan McKenzie and Trevor Steele and Graeme Sharp aren't playing.
What's he wearing now?
No, not remotely interested in anything of Everton. I'm more interested in what Liverpool do.
Say that, I do like Roberto Martinez because he's a friend of mine.
Yeah. Anyway, Liverpool win it. Is it the tightest derby for years? You said that for years, haven't we?
Yeah, no, I think.
It's a really hard game, isn't it?
They always are now, aren't they?
It's a great game.
Again, it's that old cliche in football where form and everything goes harder when you win derbies, isn't it?
I love watching them though, don't you?
Yeah, now you do.
I used to love playing in them, and I love watching them now.
Did you love playing in the derbies?
Yeah.
I
I think when you're, I mean, when you're a proper Scouser, you're not a proper Scouser. Yeah. You see, you were born on the Whittle. So when you're a proper Scouser,
bang,
you love it, don't you?
Hit him.
Yeah, it's really difficult. You used to get kicked from pillar to post. There was no space, but they were great, great games. I used to love playing them, and now I really, really enjoy watching them. They're not great spectacles.
No,
they're not. But
losing them was always horrible, wasn't it?
When your mate is an Evertonian and your other mate is a Liverpoolian, or your dad's an Evertonian,
me and him.
No, I'm just saying we've got friends who are Liverpool fans and Everton fans. You know, John Kelly's a Liverpool fan. Tony Mannix is an Everton fan. You know, my dad was an Everton fan. His brother, my uncle Vinny, for instance, is a Liverpool fan. When you've got that, the dynamics is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. Have you enjoyed your food?
It's not come yet.
Enjoyed his food?
That was nice, actually. It was nice. Very nice.
Well, good luck for the game on Saturday. How's your heel, by the way? You're struggling with a bit of a heel.
Yeah, I ate it 4 weeks ago now in Singapore. It's still not healed properly. Hey! Boom, boom.
You said it.
So it's sore, but I'm going to give it a good short run around. And
I'd like to thank Jason for organising this podcast.
But you know what I'd like?
And also, I would like to... Yeah, I'm
no, I don't mean good in the good looking sense. I mean, are you fit?
In the good looking sense, no, I'm not fit, but I actually am fit, as in physically fit.
He's probably the fittest.
Lads, thank you. Anyway. Thanks very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.